listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We start here on Straight Outta Vegas in the NFL, and so far through 4 weeks, a quarter of the way into the season, it is all about the replacement quarterbacks around the league, and Vegas has some eye-popping numbers as to how they've been performing so far.
Yeah, if you bet or not, and research shows about 50% of our listeners do not even bet, but they want to think like a professional bettor, like a wise guy. The thing you can benefit from when it comes to Vegas is, by definition, the point spread, the odds, are expectation. It's what's expected. So if you do better than that, you win. If you do worse than that, you lose. You're a touchdown favorite. You win by 3. You won the game. You didn't cover. You don't get the cash. You win by 10. You do. So Fez, you're the first person that really zeroed in on this. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at 5 of the quarterbacks. And here's the criteria. They have to be backup, but not third stringers, because the Jets is a mess. It's third stringers. Who knows what's going on? The question is there professional level quarterbacking in New York? I don't think there is. We set that aside. They're 1-1 against the spread. Okay, fine. But otherwise, we got the stash, Minshew, Rudolph, Mr. Daniel Jones, Bridgewater, and Allen in Carolina. So, how have those guys done against the spread?
11-0, RJ.
Zero losses.
Zero losses.
Perfection.
Perfection. 2,000-1, random chance of it happening.
Now, that's an interesting point. Isn't it 2,048-1?
It is. I rounded.
All right. That's good. So here's the thing. I got my calculator here, right? All right. What does it mean? It means that systemically, in a fundamental way, the markets are underpricing these young quarterbacks. So what we're going to do is try to answer the question why with an extended examination, because I don't think, and Jonas, you can tell me what you think. I just don't know how you can bet any game that involves these backups without understanding how good these backups really are.
Yeah, and they've outperformed all expectations so far, and you're seeing more and more quarterbacks come in and perform at a high level early on, which makes me wonder, and this is what I wanted to ask you guys, does Vegas just not know how to price these young quarterbacks? Are they not taking into account all the preparation that goes in, all the young camps that they're a part of, the college offenses, the influence of college into the NFL?
You know what's fascinating? I think you're touching on the issue. But you said something at the end that I almost feel like that even a couple years ago we would have thought opposite to what you implied. When you said, oh, the college offenses, to me, that was a big disadvantage of the college players.
Yeah.
That there were such spread principles, and in the league there weren't. And that is changing, right? Not just with the Kingsbury, right? But across the league, you're seeing just a lot more of the college spread concepts. Now, why weren't they in the NFL back in the day? It was because the DNs that are 3'10 and run a 4'6 make a lot of the assumptions of the college offense is false. And it only takes one hit from one of those guys, and it can be the end of the season. Obviously, the Andy Reids of the world have figured out how to mitigate that risk while benefiting offensively from some of the spread principles. Now, you said, does Vegas just not know how? Here's what Vegas knows. That most short-term trends are full of BS. It's really that simple. I mean, you won't believe the guys here in Vegas. And Fez, I mean, your various travels, when you pop in 7-Eleven with the shades on, a hat pulled down, you get a lot of this. Is, oh, did you see that this umpire in baseball has gone over 9 out of 10 games? It's like, well, all right. How's he done in his career? Oh, well, you know, he's been 13 years in the majors, and he's 50% over, 50% under in those games, but he's 9 out of 10. Like, that becomes major talk show topics here in town. That's why none of the shows are national, I guess, but it really is this mentality of sitting by the roulette wheel and seeing how many reds come up. And then half the people think, I'm going black, it's due. And the other half think, oh, there must be something about this wheel. So it's funny. It's the same, let's try to make something out of nothing. And they go in opposite directions. And the casino just laughs and collects.
I think they call that fooled by randomness. And it's so valuable to the casino. There's a reason all these casinos are installing these history of roulette wheels and the numbers coming up. Think how much it costs them to put those up there to get people to bet on things that have occurred in the past.
It's a great point. Think about going to the dog track or the horse track and not having a program, not knowing anything. Now, most people look at that program and literally they can't decipher it, or even if they understand what the numbers are, they don't know how to handicap in any logical way. But if you had nothing, you might say they know nothing anyway. Imagine how much less betting there would be if you didn't even have a program, because you can't say, oh, look, the sire of this horse has the same last name as my cousin. I'm going to bet that horse. Making these connections that mean nothing is a big part of gambling. But again, if you're doing it recreationally, it's fine. It's like playing the lotto. You know, it's better than playing the lotto. But because, Jonas, of that history of these casino guys, the sportsbook guys, seeing so many, you know, fool crap trends, they are slow to change. And Fez, I would make the case you're slow to change. And you're right 95%+ of the time about that decision. Meaning, let's use Kansas City Chiefs as an example. Now, last year we hit up through the week, 15, we were at 67% in the Super Contest, tied for first, $640,000 at stake. I think we'd be four games ahead if you didn't talk me into betting against Kansas City. Would we agree?
Especially early in the
year.
True
or false?
True.
All right. What do you mean especially earlier in the year? This year, every week you've wanted to bet against Kansas City. Right or wrong? Pretty much.
Pretty much.
So he goes early last year, like, oh, it took me a few weeks to figure it out. You mean early yesterday morning, perhaps. Now, here's the thing. Fez is right. When you have the hot quarterback that you got nicknames of and all the he's a different breed. Usually it's BS. Sometimes it's not. And that's the trick. Can you find, if you have to accept the BS all the time or be a skeptic, no doubt you would want to be a skeptic always, just blind. Something's new? Nah, forget it. And occasionally you're going to be wrong. Atari? No, video games are going nowhere. You know, I mean, you're going to be wrong sometimes, but most of the time you're going to be right. Like those scooters, for example, right? So to me, Fez is right most of the time. That's why he's got a mansion and a yacht. There's just no debate in it. But I think that Jonas actually touched upon something new that maybe we got to accept isn't BS, which is the preparedness of the quarterbacks, the young, inexperienced professional quarterbacks, is so much better than it ever was. And you rattled off some of the reasons, Jonas. Do so again, camp, 7-on-7, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, they're developed at such a young age. They're constantly in 7-on-7 tournaments, quarterback camps. It's all over the place. They get to college, and now there's not this big, steep learning curve when they get to the NFL, because a lot of times they're familiar with the playbook. Coaches realize when 6 and 7 coaches are being fired a year and there's only 32 jobs available, they understand that my job is tied to the quarterback. So I better get in unison with that quarterback and make it more comfortable for him to win games, because if he's not comfortable, then it makes my job status uncomfortable. And I think they're more willing and open to bringing in these college concepts to work with them.
Yeah, so, you know, I agree with you totally in zeroing in on the preparation, how much time is being spent. And it is, you know, I always hear how U.S. soccer can't really excel because in Brazil, in Germany, in other places, those kids grow up with a soccer ball at their feet.
Yeah.
I mean, if they come, you know how there was a kid, I'm sure, growing up with you that loved some sport, he'd walk by, he'd always had a football in his hand. Mm-hmm. You want to go throw? Like when he's 9, it's in their blood. We don't have that as much, near as much with soccer. It's what we've got with football throwing. It might have been the case with football when I was growing up, but it wasn't about throwing. It was about throwing, tackling, running. You know, Walter Payton was, and again, a little before my time, but you think about who's the big stars from the 70s. You know, we don't want to say it, but OJ certainly was. Walter Payton certainly was. And then as you move into the 80s, you know, Earl Campbell at the end of the 70s. Who's the big name? Yeah, the quarterbacks were there too, but they were on even footing. I mean, was Troy Aikman in the 90s that much of a bigger name than Emmitt Smith? No.
No.
So it's different now. Who's the who's the fifth biggest running back in the NFL? I'm not saying best, and don't harken back to David Johnson, I think was pretty good in fantasy a couple years ago. But really, who's fifth?
McCaffrey.
Who?
Exactly.
Oh, you're from Carolina. Okay. You know, maybe. But the fact that we're not sure that it's Gurley, and now it's Gurley because he's no good, it seems. It's Zeke because he went to Cabo to some degree. It's Le'Veon Bell because he didn't want. It's almost like they're more famous for not playing, right? Quarterbacks are king.
Barkley's out now. Yep.
So to me, that's the premise. And I think Jonas is right. Combined with the transition is easier because there are less differences between college and pro schematically. And to some degree, we've seen this with USC where one quarterback's out, next one's in. That one's out, next one. You know, there's these seemingly endless supply of quality young freshman quarterbacks.
Also, look at this past year's draft. Do you think in the 90s or the 80s or growing up watching football that a team who took a quarterback who was 5'8", and you guys know it because you stood next to him in Atlanta for the Super Bowl, and also took a head coach who was fired because he wasn't good at his job in the Big 12 and gave them both jobs and made him the number one pick. If that happened in the 80s or 90s, they'd be laughed out of the league. But we're more open-minded to it now because it's a different game.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
This is what I did. I took QBR. Now, the thing about QBR is it was all, you hear, it's an ESPN stat. Okay, fine. But looking deep into QBR, they really made an effort, and I think it's quite good. Also, Colin talked about it, Pro Football Focus. And then I've got a third advanced analytics metric I'm using. So what we're doing here is, and next time we talk about this, I'll explain more about that. We got three numbers. And all I did was say, let's stack rank them 1 to 42. We got 42 quarterbacks. And then we look at the average of the three, figuring if one of them misses something, the other one will catch it. I tell you, there is such disparity. I mean, if you look at, for example, Kyle Allen, he is the highest ranked of those big starters or big new starters. So, Fez, go through that list one more time.
Yeah, Jacksonville Minshew, Pittsburgh Rudolph, New York Giants Jones, New Orleans Bridgewater, and Carolina Kyle Allen.
11-0 against the spread combined. Okay, amongst all those guys, the highest ranked guy is Kyle Allen, the 11th best quarterback. Now you might say, RJ, you're saying a lot of things about blended this and analytics that. How do we trust these numbers? Okay, the beauty of any kind of gauge, any kind of number is, do you mostly think it makes sense? Because then the assumption or the exceptions need to really be taken seriously. But if it says, Teddy Bridgewater's better than Tom Brady, now you got to start wondering about it. Well, here's the top quarterbacks based on my system. Dak Prescott, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson. Now, here's one we can debate. Lamar Jackson. I would make the following case. Because they've been running the ball so effectively, if you just look at throwing, it makes sense Lamar's got a very efficient throwing stats. Next, Tom Brady, Carson Wentz, Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers. Seems pretty good to me. So now, it's kind of hard to think those aren't some of the top quarterbacks, right, Jones?
Right.
It's probably worth saying who amongst the top perceived quarterbacks is a little bit lower. Well, Matt Ryan's 14. Okay, I'm fine with that. Deshaun Watson's 15. I'm fine with that. Aaron Rodgers, 16. We just did a study that said he's average at this point. And once again, he seems to be average. Well, maybe QBR and Pro Football Focus and that advanced analytics one all stink. Okay, good luck. Jimmy G, 17. Here's a surprise. Flacco, 18. Derek Carr, 20. Brissett, 19. Oh, I got this flipped. 19 and 20, Brissett. Mariota, 21. I mean, this is almost like any common sense one. Winston, 23. Baker Mayfield, 24. Okay. Jared Goff, 27. That's an outlier. So what's the two outliers? Aaron Rodgers being 16. Fez, there's a lot of sharp guys you know. It's not just me that thinks Aaron Rodgers had his best days and they're done gone.
Yeah, well, I think you did a thesis on it talking about how his performance was so much better than the NFL average and then actually regressed to slightly below average.
One of your favorite stats, yards per attempt, is what we were looking at there. And the other exception, the other wow, is Jared Goff at 27. I think that's about right, especially without Gurley. Now, I think we've proven this generally is a good system, because if one of them just is looking at something weird, and that happens, right? Like we said, if you look at this, Philip Rivers by QBR is 17 and Pro Football Focus has him 5. Okay, that's the point of blending 3. They're sometimes going to be a little screwy, but you blend 3 different ones, it's hard to be too screwy.
Collective IQ.
Exactly. So let's look at the big 5. Number 1, Kyle Allen at 11. That feels right to me. He's been surprisingly good. He was good last year in a start. Thoughts, Fez?
You know, I actually had him last. This is interesting.
Well, that's why your little list is meaningless at this point.
And I probably just gave him too much discredit because of the 3 fumbles he lost against Houston. I don't know how to measure a quarterback. You know, is it his fault when he gets strip sacked?
Well, that's an interesting point because, again, as I really delve into these stats, you got to ask yourself, what aren't they considering, right? So let's accept if these stats aren't considering fumbles, it's hard to be coincidental if you get, you know, fumble 3 times. So it's an interesting point for sure. Next up, the stash, Minshew at 13. I got to tell you something. I was skeptical of the stash. Now, QBR has him 22, and the advanced analytics one 8. So there is a range. Pro Football Focus pretty much in the middle at 13. We got him at 13. So interesting. Now, bunch of dropping, 22. Daniel Jones. So let's think about that a second. Daniel Jones, who has all of the Big Apple in a fluttering heart, the fluttering heart of the Big Apple, New York City, QBR has him 5. Holy cow. Daniel Jones, 5. The future looks bright. Pro Football Focus, 25. Advanced Analytics, 27. Daniel Jones at 22. That's a big difference, though. Is QBR right or wrong? Mason Rudolph, 25. And then last on the list, as I've been saying, Teddy Bridgewater at 32. Wow. Now, last thing, and we're going to be talking about this pretty much the whole football season. Let's think for a minute about some of the big names that maybe aren't considered to be great, but maybe they're pretty good. Looking at the list, Kyler Murray, number 1 pick, is 28. So right now, Mason Rudolph, Daniel Jones, Minshew, and Kyle Allen all have better quarterback stats than the number 1 pick, Kyler Murray. Below Kyler Murray, Eli at 31. Everyone would say, well, Eli was no good. That makes sense. Case Keenum at 30. Bridgewater was 32, like we said. Now, here's a shocker. Josh Allen at 33. With that good start, it seems. Josh Rosen, 34. Cousins, 36. No way should they be pick 'em at Chicago. Oh, Luke Falk at 35. And now I'm just going to read the end of the list. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 37. Trubisky, 38. Cam Newton, 40. Big Ben, in the games he played, was tied for 40. Matt Barkley, 41. And the last quarterback on the list. And literally, on all three of our sources, Pro Football Focus, QBR, and the Advanced Analytics one, he was dead last. Dwayne Haskins, 42, 42, 42 equals 42.
When's Colt McCoy get healthy enough to play for Washington, right? He's the third string quarterback for the Washington
Redskins.
Yeah,
but the whole point was, well, first, I don't think he's third string. I think what's happening in Washington is the idea that they drafted him in the first round. They're losing. Let's see how good he is, right? Washington saying he's no good yet. But guys, I got to be honest. At what point does anything not make sense? Like, if I read the bottom of the list, Eli, Keenum, Bridgewater, Allen, Rosen, Cousins, Falk, Fitzpatrick, Trubisky, Newton. Now, Newton, Cam was hindered, obviously. Barkley, Haskins. Who's going to go to war on any of those? Oh, no, they're really good.
Nobody.
And if you read the top of the list, Prescott, Mahomes, Wilson, Lamar Jackson, maybe a debate. Tom Brady, Wentz, Breeze, Rivers. Who's going to debate any of those other than this methodology works? And based upon that methodology, Allen with Carolina is good. Minshew is good. Daniel Jones and Rudolph are slightly below average. And then Bridgewater, Falk, Haskins, avoid at all costs. Or maybe not that, but don't think they're good just because they've been covering. To me, that was super insightful because I'll be candid. I didn't know how. I mean, Fez, it's kind of interesting. Who did you have number one on your little list?
Daniel Jones.
And we've got Daniel Jones. Me and the analytics world has Daniel Jones, you know, I guess at three on your list, but still he's way down there.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with your list. It makes such a compelling case, the fact that every one of these other guys looks to be properly rated.
Exactly.
So these five probably are pretty properly rated as well.
Yeah, and Mitchell Trubisky, here's the topper. Here's the little thing at the end, and steak knives. Chase Daniel, he only threw 30 passes this season, all right? He is ranked number 9. He's higher than any of the accidental starters. Trubisky, number 38. Chase Daniel, number 9. Fez, how has the line been adjusted?
Line has not adjusted at all for the quarterback change.
So the market is saying Trubisky, Chase Daniel, no change.
Yes.
I'm saying that's less reaction. I thought there'd be some. I'm saying that there should be a huge upgrade. And the rationale, Jonas, and I think it makes a ton of sense, is the idea that the whole playbook of Nagy's at the disposal of Chase Daniel, where with Trubisky it was limited. And Nagy hasn't really been able to show all his cards. The whole playbook's not in yet.
Going to be some surprises in London.
And Chase Daniel got more experience than Trubisky in that system because he worked with Matt Nagy in Kansas City for all those years.
Absolutely.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
All right, so Vegas, I think, acquitted themselves the worst in this, but it really did represent coast to coast. We got Fez's best bet coming up.
Yeah, that's right. Steve Fezzik's best bet, and it's his line mover. Before we get to that, though, we've got a big game on Sunday Night Football, RJ. It is the Colts and the Chiefs. Kansas City is an 11-point favorite right now.
Yeah, to me, it's injuries again, Fez, and you've been talking about this. You love T.Y. Hilton. Other injuries, including their running back?
Yeah, running back Marlon Mack and their best defender, Darius Leonard, all questionable. Hey, that's why Indy lost to Oakland last week.
Well, I don't know about that. I
know reason.
I know you liked, I mean, which side did you like in that game? You liked Indy, if I recall.
No.
You said you liked Oakland earlier in the week. When you sent me your list for the Super Contest, you had Indy on it, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
See, if you pick both sides, you actually are going to be wrong every time, too. Hey, Fez, we're real tight. We got your line mover here, and this is both you like the pick, but you also think bet it now because the line's going to move.
Yeah, I like your Pittsburgh Steelers +3.5 against the Ravens. The Ravens are overrated. I will argue the markets are not adjusting enough for their poor defense. How bad is the Ravens' defense? Well, Baltimore's ranked 29th in defense by Football Outsiders. And if you look at their yards per play giving up, they are worst in the league. The Baltimore Ravens D is, and I think Pittsburgh will be throwing some wrinkles at that suspect defense.
Yeah, I thought great comment from the caller on that. Rudolph, his effectiveness on Monday night had a lot to do with surprise. Lamar Jackson, I think a lot of the early season had to do with surprise. And quite frankly, Miami Dolphins, Arizona, and then they lose and they could have got blown out against Kansas City. And they do get blown out against the Browns at home. So really think about that. You beat two of the worst teams, the worst team maybe of the decade, one other bad team, and you could have got crushed against a good team, but still lost. And then you got crushed against the Browns? I'm not impressed.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.